Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Ever wonder what really happens behind the scenes in construction, real estate, and development? We pull back the curtain on the new home construction industry, the real estate market, and the trends shaping it all. Discover the stories, insights, and expertise behind the process of building a new home. Join us for Trust the Process podcast, and let's build something great together. Welcome back to Trust the Process podcast, where we talk about new homes, the housing industry, and everything in between. We're hearing a lot of people in the market right now saying we're going to wait and see what happens. There is some trepidation in the market. We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. And so one of the phrases, key phrases that we hear is we're going to wait and see what happens with the market. And there are some pros and cons to that. Obviously, we don't know what the market will do moving forward, but what we do know is what's happening right now in terms of the cost. There is a cost associated with these people who are waiting. And so how are builders waiting that out? What cost is it having on the market and the industry as a whole? And what are buyers losing by holding out for the who knows what is to come? So
yeah.
Kind of wanted to get your take on that and just have a conversation about what we think. Is there a cost associated with the wait and see method?
I think it's very situation dependent. So if you are in a renting situation or you know you should own or mm-hmm. you need to buy, or you're making a major life move, you're moving out of state or you're retiring, downsizing, there is a cost to waiting. I think of it, the squirrel that runs in the road and is terrified of which direction and then gets run
over. Chicken, yeah.
Because it's just analysis paralysis, and there is a cost to sitting in the road deciding on which side of the road you're going to mm-hmm. go run to. Get out of the road. So, but there are situations, especially people that have golden handcuffs on low interest rates mm-hmm. and things in their home. We're going to wait to upsize. We're going to wait to downsize. We're going to mm-hmm. wait to make that move, whatever it is. We're going to wait for our dream home. In that regard, as much as I hate to admit it, I don't think that there is a cost to waiting on that. I feel that the market is uncertain. If the market did get soft 5 or 10%, you feel that on the home you're in right now, but you're going to feel it on the buy side, mm-hmm. assuming mm-hmm. that you're kind of trading in the mm-hmm. same market.
And the cost might be the inconvenience of living there. Maybe now you've had another baby and now kids yeah, are sharing a room, or right. you know, somebody's moved back home and you know, the house is shrinking. So there's a lifestyle that they're sacrificing on some
right.
level.
Right. Yeah, there's a sacrifice there that mm-hmm. has a cost associated with it. But in terms of the, you know, suffering monetarily, I think that if you don't already own something and you're in the same city, you have gainful employment and you know you need to buy something and you're spending an exorbitant amount of money on rent, but you're just stuck on these rates or you're stuck on home prices or you're right. thinking there's something cataclysmic around the corner. I've heard people, a broken clock is right twice a day, right? So eventually the bears are going to be right, eventually. But how right are they? So right now there are bears basking in the glory of saying, well, buyers outweigh sellers right now, outnumber yeah. sellers. So it is a more favorable time to purchase a home. Yes, but you could have been 3 years down the road of a mortgage. You could probably would have paid a 5% correction right now. It takes us back to the end of 2023. It's if you were waiting from 21, you still are paying more.
Yeah.
And you're psychologically feeling
and some
better.
Of those people are waiting for prices to drop.
Right.
Right. That's one of the waits that they are
expecting, yeah, exactly.
And it's only going the opposite direction.
In general, because things are just more expensive. Labor costs mm-hmm. generally go in one direction.
Yeah.
And labor is tied to materials because 2x4s don't grow out of the ground. They have to be harvested, mm-hmm. milled, mm-hmm. and sold and transported. I mean, all labor trickles into all of those things. And in general, wages have one line. I mean, it's kind of like gas prices, right? I mean, it's a fixed commodity, and they might have little tiny dips mm-hmm. here and there, but for the most part, it moves in one line. So I think that in my experience on the brokerage side, when someone says they're waiting and they're blaming the market, they're not ready.
They're not ready.
They don't have the money. They don't have the credit score, whatever it is. They're right. blaming the market for the reason why they're waiting, but that's not generally.
Or blaming the market in this case for the fear that they can't overcome about moving
right.
forward.
Which tells you that they can't afford.
Yeah.
So they're not ready to have a $2,800 house payment versus $2,200 in rent, mm-hmm. which is okay. But to blame it on the market is not correct because mm-hmm. you would never, first of all, the tax savings right there is going to eat up the extra $600 mm-hmm. just in what you're going to save in income tax and property tax deductions and the pride of ownership. So if you're not ready for the 20, that's fine, but don't blame it on
right.
the market. You're not suddenly going to wake up one day and go, oh my gosh, the exact same house to buy again will be $2,200.
Yeah, exactly.
So the rates dropped from 7 to 4 and home values didn't change at all. They didn't jump proportionately. They didn't get into a seller's market where you're paying over appraisal mm-hmm. and you're fighting for a limited stock of mm-hmm. homes. So I think that to me, that's the frustrating part that you can't tell somebody that they're ready to do something that they're
right.
not. You can't tell. You hear me tell the agents that work for the brokerage all the time. Don't want it more than they do.
Yeah.
They have to want it. If they don't want it, then what are you wasting your
right.
breath for? You're just losing credibility by trying to cajole somebody that's not ready. So, mm-hmm.
And what about from a builder's perspective, when the market does have a wait, right? There has been a moment of pause and there's a little
right now,
wait in the
yeah.
market. Sure.
Yeah.
There's a little wait in the sales world. So how do you pivot for that?
So
this
is a great, I'm going to spin the word wait to me.
Yeah.
I can wait for this home to sell for this dollar amount that I picked arbitrarily.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can move the inventory because I'm in the business of building and selling homes.
Mm-hmm.
So I can wait all I want. Oh, I'm going to wait for the market to turn. I'm going to hold on. This house is costing me $11,000 a month, but I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on and wait. Or making pricing decisions. We launched one 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to go $100,000 higher, and I didn't. I stuck where it was. I wanted to be into that next pricing threshold. And I just thought, you know what, I have more coming. And this is still a good project if it sells for this or even 10% below what this is. It's still a successful project. So I can wait all I want. Or I can be in the business of building and selling homes.
Building and selling. And the transaction hasn't finished. You could build and build and build.
Yeah.
But until it sells,
that's that key
it's
point.
Still on your plate.
That's the last spoke.
That's it.
So I like to look at it that way. So I practice what I preach. Say, I'm not going to wait. Because I could just say, oh, I'm going to wait. Rates have kind of been a little bit elevated right now, more than I thought, higher for longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just say, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until the rates come down into the high fives. And then this house will sell for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you've also paid a lot of money in carrying costs and tied up a lot of cash in that deal that could be deployed in other avenues. So I'm not a fan of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
On the buy side, I don't wait to buy land. I don't wait to sell homes. I find my own kind of comfortable spot and go, mm-hmm. I'm not going to push the market. It's all contingent on how the market's doing at that time. But in softer markets like we're in now, I'm not going to sit around and wait.
And it's an interesting thought because your I'm not going to sit around and wait is hinged on the buyers. I mean, buyers are waiting for you to drop your price. And you're saying, I'm not going to drop. I'm not.
Right.
Right?
So who's going to
blink
first?
Cyclical somehow
yeah.
that they really rely on one another. So who's going to break? Who's going to look for that?
And I like to be ahead of the market. So mm-hmm. I like to not even have to come to that point because I want to price it right the first time. But mm-hmm. I also don't have any opposition to finding the market.
Yeah.
If that means price reduction.
And it changes. The market we know is ever moving. So you have to
right.
make price changes and fluctuate a little bit with mm-hmm. that. And hopefully catch the attention of that person
yeah,
who's
sometimes,
sitting on the fence.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to be a smoking, screaming good deal. And when homes are costing you money to sit on mm-hmm. your inventory,
yeah,
it's different when we have stuff that's not done and we have it listed through mm-hmm. our builder director and Zillow and things like other, you know, new home source. And sure. I'm not as motivated on those because I can't sell it right now anyways. They're done. Mm-hmm. But when they're done, they go, okay, let's get this thing going. Let's make sure that we're the next one to sell in this zip code for this price, in this price point. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, I spin it on myself.
Yeah. And the one that we have right now, coming up with some different ideas, different incentives, different things that we can do to try and move the needle, which has been, you know, fun and kind of exciting.
I like having to be more competitive. It's we have two actually that we're completely mm-hmm. done, and we're getting creative on one. The other one's in a different price point where I think we're going to be okay. Or it's a price point that I could technically rent out if I had to. It's in the $800,000 range, so it's okay. But 1.8, I don't want to rent that out. 1.9, I don't want to rent that out. So I have to find
so
find
catching price the discovery. You know, dangling a carrot in a way that catches the attention of that potential. I'm going to wait it out, right?
I mean, yeah. So just that, to say, like I said, how much do you want to wait?
Because entirely reliant,
right? And thankfully, with luxury builds, we have a lot of uniqueness. Mm-hmm. Whereas when we have brokerage clients that are selling one of many homes that all kind of fit that same box, you know, well, the cost of a buyer waiting in a market that's soft, they're probably not going to pay more in 6 months. And if your home's not perfect, then they're just not going to jump. Yeah. We just had the discussion today. Just if you're not compelling, you're not pushing that buyer into the next zone of where they're ready to pull the trigger. So on our luxury builds, first of all, we don't have production builders competing with us in that price point, the 1.8 to 2.5.
And they're one-offs. There's just one custom.
They all have deep, neat lots, so you get the feeling that you might want to jump on this. You might not want to wait. If you are ready, go ahead and go for it. So that's what I have to appeal to. And we have to get more creative and throw in a $12,000 golf cart, which we're going to do.
Which we did. That was, yeah.
Throw it in. We'll throw it in. Yeah.
Brand new golf. Kind of a fun addition in a golf cart community, you know, in a golf course community.
Let's find a little niche that is going to stand out. And there's not a ton of inventory in there, but there's also not a ton of turnover. There's not a ton of buyers that circle through there. It's not like some other zip codes that have people moving here, locals that are upsizing, downsizing, or moving around or whatever. They don't have, it doesn't have that type of critical mass yet in that price point in that area. So you just got to stand out.
Yeah. All right. So there is a cost associated for sure on both sides. I mean, I think that, you know, they're missing those buyers that aren't quite ready are missing great homes. There's the other side that says if everybody's on the fence, now's the time to jump in because there's so much inventory. There's so much available. So there's a pro and a con to it. They may not be able to find the home they want by the time they're ready to make the decision because all the best inventory will be gone.
Well, we've been in this business long enough to know that as fast as it changes, it changes.
It changes.
And it changes under your feet.
Yep.
And you don't really know until you look backwards on the market. Now we're looking back the last 30 to 45 days going, oh, it really has been a buyer's market. I mean, it feels like a buyer's market. Maybe the data would argue, and I know it's all...
I don't know, though, the data supports. I mean, when we're looking at the analytics and some of that data out there, this last 60 days has been, there's a lot of shift happening.
It's been a weird spring. Mm-hmm. This is normally, but I think we knew that was going to happen.
We did.
A lot of sellers are saying, well, let's just wait till spring and list it.
Yep. No surprises.
Same thing too. Cost of waiting. Mm-hmm. You're waiting for what? More of your neighbors to be selling as well.
Right.
So I think, but we've been in this business long enough to know that in 3 to 4 months, it could be a completely different story. And all those people are going to say, well, when we were looking a few months ago, they just said, I feel like there were so many more options.
Yeah.
And now what? Now this, I guess this one will
do. It's picked up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one thing that, you know, in Clark County and in our metro, 15% of homes that transacted last month were new construction across all price points. So that is, they are way overrepresenting the market because new construction is only about maybe 7-8% of the market that transacts every year. So it's overrepresented. Mm-hmm. So 2-to-1 almost, arguably, if you looked at it proportionally.
Sure.
So, I mean, there's
just... And then our market of that is luxury. So you're taking off a smaller piece, right?
Yeah, because where we build in South Shore, Country Club, and like Las Vegas, a lot of that inventory are big, tired, old homes. And we are not. We're fresh, modern, current, sized more appropriately for that buyer pool, 33 to 4,300 square feet, not 7,800 square feet, 10,000 square feet, 8-car garages. I mean, those are amenities that are really small, tip top of that pyramid. And those sellers are wanting 4, 3.5, 2.5, but the house needs everything. Yeah. The pool's 20 years old. The pump is dead. Mm-hmm. The AC is ready to go. I mean, the home represents a $100,000 bill when you buy it. You know, you're going to be changing some major components in the house. And there's a lot of them. There's three water heaters instead of one or two. So That's the niche that we're mm-hmm. in, and that's what helps me sleep at night. Mm-hmm. But I'm ready to be more competitive. I'm going to have to be more competitive. Mm-hmm. So
I think the biggest example of the losing, you know, the cost of wait and see are people that didn't do it, you know, back when, let's say during the COVID times or when those things were, you know, those people are like, gosh, we should have, we didn't do, you know, and now prices were this then and now they're this, right. You know, you've priced yourself out of whatever new home you think you want, or if you're entry level or if you're luxury, you know,
that you might be out of the move up. Completely.
Exactly. You might have now locked out of what was once an affordable price point.
Oh, for sure. And when you're in a city that's growing, there's no guarantee what a $400,000 home should look like.
Right.
In a stable market, maybe East Coast market that doesn't have a lot of influx to it, it's kind of stable. Yeah, that home's going to go up along with inflation and other factors, maybe a data center moved in or whatever. But in this booming Southwest, now we're growth markets, so we correct first. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't change. Las Vegas didn't just suddenly become less desirable the last 60 days.
No.
So those are the things that why I don't wait on development projects. We have 3 subdivisions that are in various stages right now. I'm not pausing any of those. Yeah. I'm not going to wait.
Yeah.
I don't want to build those because, yeah. So then what? You wait 4 more months and then by the time the market becomes a seller's market again, you say, oh, I wish I would have started mm-hmm. that. I wish I had homes to sell right now. Mm-hmm. No, you just got to go and work in whatever market you're in.
I think some of that wait is the fear of a catastrophic moment. There's a boom, there's a bust, bottom's going to fall out. There's these, you know, the sky is falling kind of fears that some people are carrying around with them from who knows what.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't think that's where we're headed.
I've never, the squirrel in the middle of the road, I've never let fear, you can't let fear dictate your decision making. I mean, you can let it inform certain decisions within that plan. Okay, if you're a little afraid of the market, then maybe scale down your product offering mm-hmm. or dial down the spec mm-hmm. level or do 4 out of the 6 instead of 6 out of 6 if you're going to do a 6. Or,
that's a thought,
You know, scale it down a little bit
to
let the market kind of absorb it a little bit more. But you can't just get out. I mean, then just don't. You can't be a fair weather builder. You can't just say, oh, let me build in sellers markets. Oh, that'd be great. That's good.
that's actually a great business
model. That's a good model. It has an infinite money printing machine.
If only. And if we could predict it, right? If our crystal balls all worked and we knew when that was going to be, sure, you're going to time it that way. But because we don't, and there are, like you said, we're looking at it in the rearview mirror. We know what has happened. And so historically, we can see what trends have been. But we are here, and we, you know, that what's out there is an unknown.
Look at the current market we're in right now. 60 days, I mean, we had a lot of kind of national turmoil, mm-hmm. tariffs and things. And a lot of fear that maybe sparked the whole thing. But in general, we're not in much different of a spring than we were last year, year before. Rates are nearly the same as they were mm-hmm. in 2023, 2024, 2025. We've had 3 springs now.
Yeah.
Unemployment's roughly the same. Actual personal income growth is up from mm-hmm. last quarter. So people are making more money. The stock market is near all-time highs. We'll probably start breaking records within this month of June. Hmm. If you look at all the analytics, when you have a strong May, you almost always finish the summer strong. So we're going to have a great stock market, great employment picture. We're in a market that has always been desirable, even in the lowest of the lows. Yep. It's just got a lot of sun. It's got a good tax climate. It's got a lot of stuff to do. It's close proximity to millions of people in other neighboring states. That didn't just go away. That didn't change. So I would have really had no way of seeing this buyer's market coming. And I use that word loosely because it's so local.
I think we're right. Yeah.
I think we're there, but are we there at $400,000 to $700,000 price point in certain growth
zip codes? I do, like you said, it's local. I think in the luxury price point, we just did the analytics this morning. So we ran all of those numbers and it really does look like everything points to that section of the market being in a buyer's side.
Also, that particular zip code we're looking at has a lot of luxury homes.
Right.
So you're going to expect it to have more inventory.
Sure.
So you go one area over and maybe they, you know, have a much lower churn. Mm-hmm. So it's just so local, price point specific, amenity specific. Because if I said, look at what we build and say, oh, I want to be in Guard Gated Country Club, new construction under $2.25 million. That's a seller's market and we're really the only seller, right? So I think that it's just so situation specific. Mm-hmm. And that's what real estate is so challenging because you can't, they're not really truly commodities. They're not fungible. You can't move them around.
Yeah.
Can't generally change them much, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't change your neighborhood. You can't change things without major cost, you know, commitments. Mm-hmm. So you're really kind of stuck with what it is. you can do $100,000 renovation, but that's not, it's still, the home is in its essence what it was.
And not still going to serve exactly what you need or what you might be looking for. Right. So, and then, so the moral of the story, wait and see is not really serving.
No, it generally isn't. Way. I mean, and we just had this discussion today too, that inventory breeds buyers generally. So as this inventory situation, if it continues to go up, you'll see more buyers come off the sideline because, like I said, the economic picture is not that much different. There's some fear in the market because around 90-day pauses of tariffs and negotiations and things like that. But ultimately, there's no shyness in the stock market.
Right.
There's very little shyness on the builder side. Builders are acquiring land and going if nothing's happening. So I just feel like, you know what? It's like a big tablecloth. It'll find an iron the kinks out of it. I feel that that's just, we're looking at a really small window of time in the big scheme of things. Mm-hmm. 60 days, 35 days, 40 days, really. Even if we had two quarters that were kind of a housing recession, it's not really the end of the world.
Yeah.
As a builder, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily want to own 15 rental homes that I had to sell in the next 3 to 5 months because those are probably tired, used up homes. There's a reason you're selling them, and rents have kind of come down a little bit. So from another investor standpoint, rentals are not as appealing. The cost of money is still really high.
I don't know. The entry level home is a little higher to get into, so rentals aren't a bad gig either.
They're not a bad gig. The data is showing them softening, but we also have a lot of inventory.
Yeah.
So rentals have kind of lagged because it takes more time to build a multifamily or condo.
And investors are feeling some of that. So. All right. So there is a cost associated with waiting. So if you're on the sidelines, if you think you want to get into the market and you haven't yet, reconsider. Look at it again. It could be the right time. And if not, look historically at what you may have missed in terms of pricing or rates over time. So anyway, thanks for joining us on this episode of Trust the Process. Hopefully you learned a little something that gave you either a comfort about decisions that you have made or the desire to make decisions that you haven't yet. So we'll hope to see you again next time. Thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning into the Trust the Process podcast. Make sure to follow us on Spotify to stay in the loop with the latest insights, project updates, and everything in between. See you next time.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.